I want to open up with a story, and I'm going to tell you about a guy named Randy. And Randy was looking through a photo shop back in Fresno, California, and he's just looking around at these photos. He enjoys old photographs, and he's looking around, and he finds some that he likes, and he's like, I think I recognize one of the people in this photo. And they were selling the photos for $1 a piece, and he's like, that's interesting. I'm going to buy some of these photos for $1 a piece. He takes it home. He does this research, and his hunch was correct. Randy has figured out the person in the photo that he thought he recognized is indeed Billy the Kid, an outlaw. And the reason this is significant is because in his research, he's discovered there's only one other known photo of Billy the Kid. And so Randy says, this may be worth some money. Praise God, we all like that. So Randy goes and has it appraised, and he is correct. That $1 photo that he has found has been appraised at $5 million. Some of you are like, I need a Photoshop to go to. But the reason that story is important is because value is found by the one who's looking. Value is found by the one who's looking. Value is determined by the one who sees. See, the shop thought that photo was worth $1. That's all they attributed to it. But Randy saw something different. And it was $5 million worth of difference. I want to read some scriptures to you today, and you can open up your Bible or go to the Bible app, or if you don't have either, it's okay. We're going to put the verses up on the screen because we believe the Word of God applies to our life. It pierces down our heart. It can transform who we are today. Luke 19, verse 1 says, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus, and he was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, and he climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. And some cultural context of why being the chief tax collector and being very rich was important is in that day and age, the tax collectors were fellow Jewish people who were selling out their own fellow citizens and getting rich because of the Roman government. And some of you are like, I wouldn't be offended by that. Okay, let me put it to you this way. It's like if the Chinese government took over America and then some of our fellow American citizens started working for the Chinese government and taxing us well beyond what they were supposed to, and we watched all of them get rich off it. Now, there was supposed to be a gasp there. Because I've met some of the American citizens. Some of y'all are going to have a problem with that. I'm like, Blairsville has got like three things that exist here. We've got churches, we've got fried chicken restaurants, and we've got gun shops. So I know we value independence, okay, people? Don't try to put that on with me. Some of y'all are going to have a problem if your fellow citizen is getting rich off you just because they can. That's not going to sit well. And I'm here to tell you, it didn't sit well with the Jewish people. They hated the tax collector so much that they say, you are no longer one of us. You're no longer one of us. You've sold us out. You work for the enemy. You're no longer one of us. They don't even count on part of the Jewish family. You're gone. I find it so interesting that that guy, Zacchaeus, who's been rejected by all the Jewish people, he's turned his back on them, he's running around trying to see Jesus. And he's so interested in Jesus that he's like trying to push through a crowd to get to him, and they won't let him through. They won't let him see Jesus. And he doesn't use it as an excuse to go home. He runs ahead. And then as a grown man, he gets up into a tree just so he can try to see Jesus. And then look what happens. Verse 5, when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He's gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they said. The people were displeased. Jesus said, I must I must be a guest in your house today. Can you imagine Jesus walking the streets and then saying, of all the people there, I mean, there was such a crowd that Zacchaeus couldn't even get through. There was a huge crowd. And Jesus, of all the people, looks at the notorious sinner up in a tree and says, I must be a guest in your house today. Your translation may say, it's necessary. It's necessary. I'm a guest in your house today. And some of you are like, that's not that scandalous. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'll put it in cultural context today so we can understand this. It's like if Jesus was walking around today and social media is blown up. This guy's healing people that were paralyzed and they walk now. He's healing people that were blind. They can see now. He's performing all these miracles. He's teaching these things. It's blowing our mind. He's just all over the news stations. He's all over social media. You can't help but hearing about Jesus. And then Jesus walking the streets today sees the CEO of Planned Parenthood up in a tree and he says, I must be a guest in your home today. It's like Jesus walking around the streets and sees the leader of the LGBT movement up in a tree and he says, it's necessary that I'm a guest in your house today. You're going to tell me that social media would not be in an absolute meltdown frenzy? You're going to tell me that the news stations, they'd have breaking coverage about this. They'd be losing their mind. People today would be absolutely losing their mind right now that Jesus would pass all of us good church-going people by and have dinner with those people. That's the scandal that's happening. That's why it's an understatement that they were displeased. Jesus, you're going to pass by all us good Jewish people and you're going to hang out with him? Are you kidding me? And that what sticks out to me is Zacchaeus' actions. Because I don't know about you, I'm someone who has sinned. I've made mistakes. And when I sin, what I wrestle with is shame, guilt, anger, struggling to forgive myself or other people. Those are the things I wrestle with when I sin, but they cause me to go away from Jesus. When I sin, I'm fearful to go to Jesus because of what's happened. But a notorious sinner, Zacchaeus, is doing the opposite. A notorious sinner in Zacchaeus is trying as hard as he can to just get a look, just a look at Jesus. He's trying to push through a crowd to just get his eyes on him. He's got to the point where he's got to climb a tree in front of everybody as a grown man just to see Jesus. I want to ask a question. I want to ask a question. What had Zacchaeus heard about Jesus that made him so curious? Have you ever thought about that? What had Zacchaeus heard about Jesus that made him so curious? Zacchaeus, we're told, he's very wealthy. He has everything this world has to offer, really. What does he need Jesus for? He's not paralyzed. He's not blind. He doesn't have anything else that some people were trying to get to Jesus with. What had he heard about Jesus that made him so curious? Had he heard that Jesus heals blind people and he's like, man, he's a miracle worker. I want to see him. Maybe he'd heard that he heals paralyzed people and he's like, maybe I can see him do that. Maybe he had heard that Jesus was healing people of leprosy and making them go from unclean to clean. Maybe Zacchaeus had heard Jesus was forgiving people of their sins. And he said, I'm not going to miss that. What did Jesus heard? What did Zacchaeus heard about Jesus that made him so curious? And I want to ask a second question. If you call yourself a Christian, does the transformational work that God is doing in your life make anybody else curious about Jesus? Like if you call yourself a Christian, the Bible says God is going to transform our heart and our mind. He's going to make us more like Jesus. It's going to change our ways that people are going to see the work God is doing in our life. And it's going to lead some people to praise God. That's the Bible. And I want to ask, if you call yourself a Christian, is anybody else getting curious about Jesus because they see the way God's working in your life? Because it should be transformational. It should be unmistakable. People should see that God is changing who you are. But Zacchaeus had heard something. He had heard something where he said, I'm not going to miss that, even if I got to get up into a tree to see Jesus. Because I think at the end of it, what ate at Zacchaeus was, is Jesus real? Is Jesus real? Look at verse 8. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and he said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I've cheated people on their taxes, I'll give them back four times as much. And Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. And this statement would have been scandalous as well, because what Jesus has just told Zacchaeus, the person all of society has just written off, pushed off, labeled off, you're not one of us. What Jesus just says in this moment is salvation has come and you are a true son of Abraham. He's saying you are one of us. It's this huge moment of Jesus changing the label from what society has put on Zacchaeus, and Jesus now comes and changes that. He's now gone from rejected to accepted because of salvation. And Jesus does that. And look at this last verse. For the Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek and save those who are lost. The Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Zacchaeus was wondering that day, probably, is Jesus real? And I'm here to tell you good news. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. And he sees value where other people don't. He sees value where other people don't. See, society had labeled Zacchaeus as, you dirty, rotten traitor, you greedy person, you're looking out for yourself, you're lover of money. They had labeled him up and down, but Jesus said, I see someone in the tree and I know how everybody else has labeled him, but I see value where other people don't. Society probably labeled Zacchaeus not as a nothing, but as a negative. They saw Zacchaeus as a negative in society. Jesus saw value and worth. Has society labeled you as something? This church was planted years ago, before I even got here, with a belief that Jesus rewrites people's labels. Years ago, this church was planted with a belief that Jesus rewrites labels. Society may have said, look at that person, they've been divorced before, there's no value there. Society may look at you and say, that person's had an abortion before, there's no value there. That person struggles homosexuality, there's no value there. That person's addicted to pornography, there's no value there. That person struggles with anger, alcohol, greed. You fill in whatever label society wants to have, and they say, there's no value there. But Jesus sees value where other people don't, and he rewrites labels. I want to acknowledge something that's probably in the room right now. Some of you may have come here and you're scared to ask this question because you're like, I don't know if they're going to take me out to the streets and run me over with a golf cart. So I'm not going to ask this question, but I'm kind of wondering. The question some of us have is, why is Easter a big deal? Why is Easter a big deal? You're scared to ask the church people because they're like, this is the one day of the year they're getting dressed up. They're cooking some meals. I'm just going to hang out. I'm not going to ask. I'll take a second plate of mac and cheese and some extra dessert, but I'm not going to ask that question. Why is Easter a big deal? The reason Easter is a big deal is because Jesus came and taught things like he was there to seek and save the lost. He came and he said, I'm here to save the world, not condemn the world. This is what he teaches, even to someone like Zacchaeus, where they've been written off as a notorious sinner. And Jesus says, I've come to seek and save people like Zacchaeus even. And then he dies on the cross and says, I'm going to pay the penalty for your sin, my sins, Zacchaeus' sins, everyone. Everyone. I'm going to pay the penalty for everybody's sin. But the reason Easter is such a big deal is all of that falls flat if Jesus is still in the tomb, because it means he's not who he said he was. The reason Easter is such a big deal to Christians is the tomb's empty. Yeah, you can clap. And I'll say the reason the tomb being empty is so important is it means the weight of your sin, my sin, Zacchaeus' sin was placed on Jesus, and it wasn't enough to keep him there. Our sin was not enough to keep Jesus in the tomb. When he died for our sin but was raised back to life, he looks back at our sin and he says, I have authority to forgive that. It couldn't keep me down. That's why Easter is such a big deal. It's because for people like Zacchaeus and for me and for you, even if we're notorious sinners labeled by society, it means the guy who came and taught, I'm here to seek and save the lost, has authority to do it. That's why Easter is such a big deal. It's because someone like Zacchaeus, or at least me, people who were labeled by society by our sins, could have our labels rewritten by Jesus, and what he says goes over society. That's a big deal. And that's why people celebrate Easter, is because the tomb is empty and Jesus can forgive all sins. And labels get rewritten. That's incredible. You may be sitting there today going, man, I'm wrestling with fill in the blank. And I'm like, welcome to being a human. That's all of us. I really wish in this story we got to see more of Zacchaeus' life, because what I guarantee happened is you see Jesus transforms his life. The moment he says, I must come to your house. And that dinner, one dinner with Jesus, Zacchaeus starts calling Jesus Lord. One dinner. And he's calling Jesus Lord. He's giving back to the poor. He's giving back people who he's cheated. He is transformed. He's gone from greedy to generous. When you have a relationship with Jesus, there's transformation that starts happening. Amen? But here's the thing, sometimes Christians, we don't tell you, is transformation can happen in your life. God starts to transform your heart and your mind, but then this weird things happen. Your fleshly desires don't always go along. Right? I'm sorry if you've encountered perfect Christians. We haven't met them yet. We're on the lookout. I wish we got to see Zacchaeus' story, because I guarantee the enemy came back in his life at some point and tempted him to go cheat somebody. I guarantee it. You're like, how do you know that? Because I've spent 34 years having to deal with the enemy. He's predictable. He always wants to take you back to your old sin and try to tell you this is still your identity. But now that Jesus has come in and relabeled you, you go, absolutely not. A temptation is not my identity. Jesus Christ, because the tomb is empty, has rewritten my label. And transformation is happening in our soul and in our mind, but that doesn't mean temptations go away. I guarantee Zacchaeus was still tempted to be greedy. But because he's been transformed and God is renewing his heart and his mind and his soul, just because a temptation shows up does not mean he has to go back to it. Jesus rewrites our labels. And you may still have a temptation. You go, well, that's still my identity then. No, it is not. Your temptation is not your identity. Your identity is that Jesus Christ is your Lord. And you are being transformed continually. And it happens throughout our entire life. Whether you're 14, 87, somewhere between or after, Jesus will always, always, always be transforming our heart and mind to be more like Jesus until he calls us home. I was talking with a gentleman, he was in his 80s attending our church, and he came to me and said, Pastor, you know, I think the Lord's doing something weird in my life. And I'm like, okay, that's possible. It's possible. I'm like, what's going on? And he's like, you know, I just really don't like Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton very much. I'm like, that's not the most bizarre thing I've heard in North Georgia. What's the weird part? And it's like, the weird part is I keep reading the Bible and I keep praying to the Lord, and I find something strange happening when I start to pray. Jesus is leading my heart to pray for them. And I'm like, No, that's not weird. That's scripture. Jesus says that he's going to renew our hearts and minds. He tells us to pray for our elected officials. He tells us that we're not supposed to have hate in our heart. That's all scripture, what's happening in your heart and mind. Because Jesus, even in your 80s, is transforming you to be more like him. And so it doesn't matter if you're just like Zacchaeus and it's day one where Jesus comes over to your house and you go from notorious sinner to now generous, transformed follower of Jesus, or you've been following Jesus 60 years. He's going to continually change your heart and your mind to be like him. And so I want to ask, if you call yourself a Christian, and I got to ask you, what's God doing in your life to transform it to be like Jesus right now? What's Jesus doing in your life right now to transform it to be more like Jesus if you call yourself a Christian? Because I think what exists out there is some people hear Christians talk and there's a hell and there's a separation from God, and a lot of people go, that doesn't sound good. And I'm like, that's correct. That doesn't sound good. And they're like, well, I'll just become a Christian. And they become a Christian and then they just try to be a good enough person. Being a good enough person is not Christianity. It's morality. And they're not even close to the same thing. Christianity teaches that we will never, in our own strength, be good enough. And it's why we have to humble ourselves before Jesus, just like Zacchaeus did, and call him Lord of our entire life. It's because we can't do it in our own strength. Maybe you're here today and you're like, I call myself a Christian, but I can tell you it's not working. I keep trying to be good enough. I keep trying to be good enough. I keep trying to be a good person. I keep trying to be a moral person. Then someone cuts me off in traffic, and I got some birds in my car for them. You're like, but Christianity is supposed to transform me, and I'm trying to be good enough. The transformational work doesn't happen when we try enough. The transformational work happens when we submit ourselves. And that's what's confounding, is really the biggest issue for us as humans is our pride. That we need to humble ourselves our entire life and say, Jesus, I need you to be Lord of my life. And that's where transformation starts to happen. And maybe you're here today and you've been trying to be a moral person, not a Christ-following person. And it's available for you today, though. Because the tomb is empty, Jesus can rewrite the labels of your life. Because the tomb is empty, Jesus can transform your life right now. And as we close out, I want to give you the opportunity to have a moment with Jesus just like Zacchaeus had. Zacchaeus went away. He didn't run from Jesus. Even with his sin, he ran toward Jesus and it changed his life forever. When Jesus becomes the Lord of our life, there will always be transformation. Always. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean we'll have it together. We're not going to become good enough. The true followers of Jesus become submitted enough. Jesus, you can have my entire life. Work in me, change me, let my desires be like your desires, let my thoughts be like your thoughts, let my actions be like your actions, let my words be like your words. I humble myself. As we close out, I want us to just pray, and I want us to ask the Lord two questions. I want us to ask two questions. The first question is, do I need to be like Zacchaeus and invite the Lord to my house, into my life, and ask him to transform my life? Do I need to ask the Lord to come be the Lord of my life? Maybe God's speaking to me that I'm trying to be a good person, but that's not a follower of Jesus. I need to make him the Lord of my life. And that moment's available right now. You don't have to try to become a good enough person and then become a Christian. If you look at Zacchaeus, Jesus didn't ask him to go clean things up first and then come back. Jesus met him right in all of his notorious sinner mess and began to transform him. The second question we need to ask is, Lord, is there anything in my life that makes me more like the people who were grumbling that you would go meet with a sinner? Is there anything in my life where I'm like, look at that person and how they act. Look at that person, how they talk. Look at that person, how they dress. Look at all that person's done. And I fail to see value the way you see value, Jesus. And I need you to transform my heart and my mind to see people the way you saw them, Jesus, that every person has far more value than I could imagine if they give their life to you. And help me to pray for that, to seek for that, to believe for that. Let my heart become aligned with you, Jesus, Help me to humble myself. And as we close out, I believe God works right now. We don't have to wait. If you want to come forward, our prayer team would love to pray with you. And all you got to do is come up and say, I just need transformation. And they'll pray with you. Maybe you need to come to the altar and say, I brought some things in, but they need to stay here. And I need the transformational work of Jesus to work in my life right now. And it's available. And so, Lord, I ask that this time right now, I ask in faith that you reveal yourself to us, that you are alive, and that your transformational work that was working in the life of Zacchaeus is available right now to us if we will humble ourselves before you and say, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. Change my heart and my mind. Give me the desires to follow you rather than my own ways. Help me to be humble rather than proud. Help me to walk in your ways and not my own ways. Help me to not judge other people, but to see value where you see value, God. Help me to point people to Jesus. Transform my life so that other people get curious about you, Jesus. Jesus, more than anything, come and work in our lives to make us more like you. We give you this time. In your name we pray. In your name we trust. Jesus, amen and amen. You can come forward and pray. You can come off to the side with our prayer leaders. But let's ask God to transform our life continually.